We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, gang, welcome back. We're at the halfway mark here of Sports Talk Saturday. And you know what they say about the halfway mark. They keep the best, most entertaining stuff for halftime, just like the halftime Super Bowl. Think of my next guest as Janet Jackson. Think of me as Justin Timberlake. Joining me now is Mike Denier on the West Her Hotline. Did you like that introduction? I just came up with that off the spot.
I got to admit, the background music was so loud, I didn't hear it. I hope it was charitable.
So I said, I saved my best guest for the halftime show, just like the Super Bowl. So think of my next guest as Janet Jackson and me as Justin Timberlake.
That's better than thinking of me as like Up With People or Coldplay. Who else had a really terrible? Oh, gosh. The Black Eyed Peas.
Yes.
Me as the Black Eyed Peas.
Yeah, no. You. I would never categorize you as the Black Eyed Peas. Don't worry.
Thank you. Think of me as Prince, but alive.
Ooh, okay. I like that. A little Purple Rain. All right. So, Mike, I can't remember why I brought you on. Oh, yes, that's right. So this week, you and I, we had I imagine, like, sometimes Twitter can be, you know, like 98% of the time, it's like one of the worst places in the world. But you stick around for that 2%. And the 2% really for the last 10 to 14 days has just been Dolphins fans, Dolphins media, and frankly, the organization just... I don't know, Mike. It's been such a funny, comical. Have you ever seen an organization, a group of media and fans take victory laps? It's such a straw man argument. Like, I like Mike McDaniels a lot, and like coming out and saying, like, I don't think throwing the ball 85 yards is functionally appropriate for the NFL. Nobody does that. As if anyone has ever said that. You know, like, I just, the arguments that are being made, the positions that are being taken, I just have never quite seen. And I would love it if this was more of the usual in the NFL in June, because I think I need it.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of elements to this. And first of all, no media base or fan base has drank more Kool-Aid during OTAs in history than the Dolphins. I remember going back years, and I would look forward to this time of year because, you know, like somebody like Brian Hartline, or Rashard Matthews would, you know, catch a one-handed catch in Dolphins OTAs, and it would be talked about for 2 days or 3 days. And, you know, like 3 weeks later, somebody would be getting into my mentions, like, you know, Rashard Matthews is the second coming of Jerry Rice. But from the one, you know, from Omar Kelly's, Twitter feed to God's ears to every fan of the Miami Dolphins, like, if this happened in minicamp and OTAs, then it's guaranteed to happen 17 times in the NFL season. And so they've been doing this going back 12, 14 years. I kind of missed it because it kind of went away under Brian Flores. I have a funny feeling he wasn't letting guys tweet as much in camp because he's an old, you know, Patriots type guy. But yeah, there's that element to it. But you're right. There's also, you know, the defensiveness of the Tua Tagovailoa story, where it's a third-year quarterback. Every move has to be screwed. Of course, now there's Tuanon, and there's like a second life of like parody accounts, of onion-like parody accounts of the idea that, you know, every time Tua Tagovailoa underthrows somebody, throws an accurate pass, et cetera, We need interpretation. We need an entire council of people to weigh in on whether or not it's a sign that he has turned the corner or not.
Yeah, and like here's the thing: the whole conversation, the volatility, I guess, Mike, what confuses me is how people can't make decisions, can't form opinions based on a player from – he's played enough football to form an opinion on him. Now, whether or not that opinion will hold true this upcoming year, Tua will probably be better, right? And he'll probably throw for more yards and more touchdowns. But it sort of feels like he's in this inevitable position, Mike. Like, it probably doesn't matter what Tua does this year. Like, they're moving on from him next year, short of him being the reason they win a Super Bowl. But let's be real. That's not happening, and he's not going to be the reason they win a Super Bowl. So the inevitability of it is the most comical part.
Right. I think there's a chance he could break out and convince them otherwise. But the last coaching staff, they were convinced. They wanted to move on. You know, the Flores and all those guys wanted to move on. So McDaniel's coming in, so it's a little bit of a fresh start. Greer's still there. They may want to move on there. But you know, in terms of the conversation surrounding these guys, what are we on, year 12, year 13 of the Kirk Cousins conversation?
Right.
That's never
going
to go away. It goes away if the guy loses his job or, you know, takes a team to the Super Bowl or wins the Super Bowl. Garoppolo, you can take a team to the Super Bowl, and it's not enough to be that. But the funniest thing about it, though, isn't so much the inevitability. It's that if this is where we're at on June 3rd, where are we going to be in August? Where are we going to be the Monday morning after a loss, the Monday morning after a win? With this, everything is a you know, referendum.
Yep.
On Tua's value as a quarterback and as a human being.
Well, you know what? It just like, but it's their stances, that the contradictory stances of the organization. And then their change of tone because a new coach, but the same GM, the guy that was part of this whole thing. And like, it reminds me a lot of like the whole conversations. This is prevalent, right? Like, this is a political thing happening in the world. And it's like, it's sort of like the NRA saying like, hey guys, nothing to worry about with guns, but also you're not allowed to have a gun at any of our events, right? Like, it's like, it's like saying, hey, we really love Tua so much, but we have two first round picks next year and you can bet your ass we'll be willing to trade both of them to move up to get an actual guy. Or like, you know, hey, we were willing to, as long as, you know, Deshaun Watson is able to get 22 women to agree to sign NDAs, regardless of whether he's guilty or not, we would absolutely do that. You can't live in both worlds and then say, well, we really love this guy and we think he's elite, and like Tyreek Hill coming in and like, oh yeah, this guy's amazing. And it's like, all right, everybody please pump the brakes because you're giving me a headache.
Well, that was a lot.
Thank you.
A lot of ground off. In that analogy, the, you know, throwing a ball 85 yards is not functional is the equivalent of saying, well, there, you know, 20 to 25 rabbit hogs are coming, and that's why you need an AR-15. So that's the logic of that argument. But you're right, and it's smart for an organization to be like, yeah, we are giving him an evaluation, but, oh, Teddy Bridgewater's here. Oh, we have two first-round picks here, but we're giving him an evaluation. You can say that. But the Dolphins have to come with this arch defensiveness about it. You know, the Eagles are kind of doing that with Jalen Hurts. You know what? We really like the guy, what he does in the locker room and everything. They don't say, you know, anything 15 yards downfield is like sprayed out of a garden hose. They don't say that, but, you know, we're evaluating. Instead, we have two first-round picks next year. We have a plan B. You can say that. But it has to come through this ultra-defensive look, a 55-yard completion to Tyreek Hill. Let's make sure we put that on the social networking feed and have, you know, the coach and the GM talk about have first take lead with it. That's very distinctively a Dolphins thing.
It is. And, you know, Mike, like, at the end of the day, it's all fun and games because it's OTAs, it's June, it doesn't matter, and they've been winning off seasons for a long time now. It's the application and it's the actual when the games matter. And this is a team that does not just walk in with one of the easiest schedules in the league. The AFC East has a gauntlet this year that they will be going through. And this is where the conversation gets a little arch and gets a little dark for me, because like, it's very possible they could start 0-3, 0-4, and still be a good football team by the end of it, right? This is a team coming off of two consecutive winning seasons that just fired their head coach. So to say that they're just going to be immensely better when the schedule's hard and you still don't have answers in the quarterback, like, I for me, the Dolphins are such an interesting litmus test on how you build rosters, because a 32-year-old left tackle is a good pickup for you, but like, and a 29-year-old speedster who that's not going to last forever, and you gave him, you know, all this guaranteed money. I think there still are way more questions than answers, and the games will only answer them, Mike. But are we going to have answers after 5 weeks, like true answers? I don't know, and I don't think they have the patience to wait longer than that.
I don't know, and they better have patience, because you look around the AFC and it's brutal. And this is a great the conference to not be trying to win now in with a new coach, you know, with a new receiver, with a third-year quarterback. They have a lot of questions about. Like, and that, with the Dolphins, I never understand what direction they're heading. You know, with the whole Adam Gase thing, I never understood what – is this a rebuilding team? Or, you know, because he usually got them to about, you know, 8 wins or whatever. What's happening here? And this is a good example of that. Is this a rebuilding team? Because I think that's what Brian Flores thought it was when he got fired. No, it's a win-now team because we have Tyreek Hill. And they've had more expensive, goofy off seasons in their history than, like, Washington has had,
right.
You know, like Albert Haynesworth type things. And that's where this team – remember years ago when Tannehill got hurt and it's like, you know what, we're going to pay – Jay Cutler to come out of the booth for $12 million. Like, why? Your quarterback got hurt. Just, you know, to do a rebuilding. You're not going to do anything with Jay. We're going to do this with Jay Cutler. So that's what I don't understand. And the whole Tua thing, again, if we go through all the things that have been said in the offseason and, you know, the accusations by Brian Flores and all, is Tua the owner's guy? Because if Tua's the owner's guy, at least I understand why McDaniel's going to go to the mattresses at press conference and be like, look at that. That's enough evidence of what he can do, and what he can't do doesn't matter because the guy who signs the checks likes that. But if that's the case, we're in for a roller coaster because that means the owner thinks one thing or thinks two or three different things because Steve Ross thought he was going to have Tua and Tom Brady and Sean Payton. I don't know what Ross thought he was going to have. The GM thinks something else, and this young man coming in as a head coach probably thinks he's got a rebuilding situation on his hands and might be in for a rude awakening.
We've got Mike Tenier here at Football Outsiders on the Wester Hotline. And one of my colleagues here at the station, Joe DiBiase, kind of put this perfectly, right? Like, you have an owner who's sort of like seeing his own, you know, like mortality here, right? He's like, I don't have a lot left here to live, and I need to win a friggin' Super Bowl. Like, I need to be competitive. So that, to me, you look at that and you think about it, like, it's a situation that is, to me anyways, for Tua, set up to fail. And I just, like, I guess part of, like, the Twitter conversation of this is just that acknowledgement, I think, is important. It's like me trying to convince everyone in the world that EJ Manuel was going to be really, really good because Doug Marrone was here and we had Stevie Johnson. Give me a break. I have a functioning brain, so I know not to do things like that. It's just, it's a weird thing to feel like, it's one thing for the fan base to be this way, but it's kind of another for the organization and for the quarterback to respond to those things. It tells me that there's a level of insecurity, a baseline level of insecurity across the entire organization, and it's kind of unprecedented to me.
I mean, the organization that, you know, fired a coach and had him fire back and say it was, you know, racial allegations, and that it seems like he has a strong case and says they were tanking on purpose. And they have reason to be insecure. They have reason to be insecure on, like, a variety of levels. But beyond that, you know, you're talking about Ross. And remember Leon Hess when he owned the Jets many, many, many years ago? It's like, you know, I'm 80 whatever years old. I just want to win a Super Bowl. And that's why I'm hiring Rich Kotite. And that was an actual, like, press conference he gave in the 90s. Like, we're bringing in a winner here, and that winner is Rich Kotite, and the team went, like, 3-28 or whatever they went after that. But if that's your thing, like, I'm in win-now mode because I'm old, then you might want to divest yourself a little bit.
Right.
That's not how this goes. And, again, I don't want to put thoughts into this guy's head, but, you know, there's all this stuff swirling around about how he was going to get this guy and that guy and everything like that. You need to step back and let your professionals in the organization do what they're supposed to do if that's the case. But it's the NFL. Some owners just don't do that sort of thing.
Mike, I kind of want to also get your thoughts here on the Jets. Thanks for bringing them up. They are probably one of the more interesting teams going into this season. And this one is another one where it's kind of all about the quarterback. I mean, historically bad accuracy numbers for Zach Wilson. And, you know, in the same breath that we're going to hear all about how Tua through 2 years has got better numbers than Josh Allen, so therefore he's going to take the third-year Josh Allen leap. I'm wondering, I never felt that it was a bad pick for the Jets with Wilson, because I thought that the arm strength and the tools were there. The ceiling was there. But to hear it's one thing to hear about greatness in the OTAs, right? Like, that's always something I take with a grain of salt. When people are talking about the inability to hit open receivers in 7-on-7, that's something I guess I'll put a little bit more stock in than something about how a guy's going to be a Pro Bowler, you know, in OTAs.
I'll say this, though. There's no press pool that's more like cheerleaders in June than the Dolphins. There are no more fatalists than the Jets. Christian Hackenberg, you know, if he bounced one, granted, he was bouncing them off reporters' heads, and that's what they were doing.
But off the media tent, yeah.
And they've even swapped out a lot of the reporters there. You come in and it's super fabulous there. But you know, I was skeptical of Zach Wilson from the beginning because of he's suddenly this great prospect because the schedule went too far in 2020, and he's playing a bunch of teams from like the bottom of Conference USA instead of the usual schedule he would have there. You're right, he's toolsy. And yeah, I'm not going to worry too much about him, but again, this is a guy last year, Mike White came in, played well, and the New York media wanted to make Mike White a thing. For a week,
yep.
He threw three interceptions. I think against the Bills,
it was
in like 12 seconds, and we're like, okay, well that was fun. But you know, I look at the overall Jets all season. You remember like the Seinfeld thing where you say good, but you have the high voice at the end. It's good, you know. The off season for the Jets is good. They got some good players, you know, and that's where it is now. So I don't know where they're going, except they look like a team that will be tougher than last year's team because they did bring in some guys that look like they are professionals in the draft and free agency. I don't know what. Tougher than last year's team means, though, because they were a complete joke for much of last season.
Yeah.
So it's very much in wait-and-see mode with that team.
Yeah, and another interesting conversation about the AFC East, right? Like, that's our trend. We're talking about the AFC East right now. And I had Stephen Ruiz on earlier from The Ringer, and we were kind of chatting about how, like, if you look at the Bills in the AFC East, they just do not have the same level of competition as, like, a Kansas City or, you know, a Chargers are going to be facing in the West or what they've got going on in the North. We can just leave the South and where it belongs in the South. But, you know, like, when you think about the AFC East here, and then all of a sudden, it's almost like the Patriots become an afterthought, because right now, Mike, they have the least amount of cap space in the league, and I can't name you truly one blue chip player that team has right now.
I mean, and I saw you tweet that, and you're right. They have spent a lot of money, and that a lot of that money is spent on Kendrick Bourne
and Nelson Aguilar.
Aguilar and Jalen Mills and the tight ends. And they're good tight ends, but it's like you have all this money at tight end. And I don't see how you build that past wild card. You can obviously pencil in, oh, Belichick's going to do stuff. A lot of veterans on defense, still have a pretty good offensive line. You can get that wild card. I can't see it. When you start, we talk about the Dolphins and like their offseason heroes. Devontae Parker, I think he won the MVP award of OTAs like 6 years in a row for the Miami Dolphins. I mean, this guy was OTA Randy Moss for years, and now he's older, and like we've seen over and over again, that guy gets hurt when you need him. Guy turns into kind of an ordinary possession receiver from November on. Now he's like the big addition for the Patriots. I don't see it. I don't understand it. But again, it's OTAs, and all we're hearing about from New England Patriots in OTAs is how much Mac Jones has turned into a leader, just like Tom Brady. And I want to yawn, and I want to stretch, and I want to throw up a little bit in my mouth a little bit. Like, show me what this team is really doing. Because right now, all I'm hearing about is that Bill Belichick is such a genius that he can be an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, head coach, and general manager at the same time and handle it all, even though he never did that before in the great signature seasons, and everything's going to work out just fine.
So the last thing I've got to ask you then, Joe Judge, we're just to assume, and it's almost like Bill Belichick, when he goes up there, my favorite quote, he's calling plays in minicamp. Does it matter? He's calling plays in minicamp. Who cares who the offensive coordinator is? Like, who cares?
Nice.
And listen, I know that he's Bill Belichick and he's sort of still above reproach. But at a certain point here, this is going to like snowball into one of the biggest comedies I've ever seen. If Joe Judge has a headset on and is calling plays, well, even if he's transferring plays from someone else who's calling them to Mac Jones, to put him in a position to mold a young quarterback after what he did in New York, regardless of the prior relationship with Bill Belichick, this has got to be one of the biggest blunders I've ever seen.
This is an example of somebody who reaches that level of emperor king that he can do no wrong. And so he can't be questioned. And he wants the guys he's comfortable with in those positions. He did not want to replace McDaniel. So he brings back to the fold, you know, a couple of guys in Judge and Patricia, and says, you're offensive coaches now, even though you weren't very good defense and special teams coach. You weren't good head coaches. You were terrible. You wanted to run quarterback sneaks on third and long. That's what you were as a head coach. And he gives them these positions. And, you know, not us, but like the local media has got to say yes, sir to all this. You can't really criticize it. And the rest of us are like on bated breath. Like, you don't want to say, oh, this is a complete catastrophe about to happen. Because you know, they win the Super Bowl and you look,
yeah, right.
And you write the check. Like, he's beaten you before. I don't see it at this point. You got a young quarterback needs molding. You've got an offense that does not have a lot of firepower, and you've got two knuckleheads who, as soon as they were given any authority anywhere else, went banana pants in terms of like how bad they were as doing anything except like the little box that Belichick had put them in the past, giving them more responsibilities, giving them unique responsibilities that they're not prepared for. This has the potential to blow up in their face. The thing is, it'll blow up in their face. They'll still win 9 games because they'll beat the Jets twice and the defense will be good.
Yeah, that's probably right. And, you know, I by saying no blue chip talent, I think Matthew Judon's a heck of a player. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. But the way they approach the J.C. Jackson situation, and just time and time again, over the last 2 years, sans Tom Brady, it's been a tire fire, and I'm here to watch it. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Mike, I'm going to let you go. Thank you so much. Entertainment value always high, as it always is. I appreciate your time on a Saturday in June. Let's do it again soon, and enjoy your summer, my friend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.